This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to Jeremy White and Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Good morning. Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning, folks.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe.
Hello there.
Are you good?
Hey guys, love the show. Big fans. Over probably 20 years.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Hey guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
Call or text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Chilly Wednesday. See if the real feel is above one.
I think if it's one, it has to be freezing. Chili is like, what's chili? Chili is like 55 in the summer, right?
Chili, yeah, it's relative, sure. The real feel is down to minus one. We're going the wrong direction. Eric Edholm on the Wester Hotline. Eric, your Twitter bio says Chicago-ish. How cold is it where you are today?
Yeah, I would say it's below chilly.
Okay.
below chilly. I was sitting in my garage, not even outside. I was sitting there and trying to decide how long do I have to sit here to warm up in my car before I walk back inside. That's how cold it is.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's the winter of NFL offseason, franchise tags, and you know, when the temperature drops below 1 degree, I mean, it's pretty tough. Eric Edholm, NFL.com, joining us on the Wester Hotline. Jeremy and Joe. All right, Eric. Welcome to the off season. You know what do you see as a big picture kind of story for this year's NFL off season? If anything, quarterback movement could be a big part of this with Darnold and Rodgers and maybe even Matthew Stafford. I mean, we could see some pretty big names on the move.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the first sort of two big new pieces of news we're waiting for would be what the Vikings plan to do tag wise with Darnold. Are they just going to let him? You know, they're going to ask to have, you know, final match on any offer he gets. Are they going to put the transition tag on him? Is it franchise? Are they just going to let him walk? You know, what do they do with him? And then also the non-quarterback move of note, I think, has a ripple effect elsewhere. Is probably T. Higgins in Cincinnati, and it sounds like they're trying to get it done there, you know, and keep him and Chase and Burrow all in the fold. So, you know, that kind of weakens the receiver market quite a bit. I don't think, you know, people were expecting that necessarily to be the case. They thought Higgins might be available. So, you know, maybe some other guys get overpaid there. But not the most exciting free agent class of all time. Not the most mind-blowing draft class either. But there's some interesting stories for sure.
We are spending most of our time on Myles Garrett because he wants out. And that makes sense for the Bills. It's kind of hard, I feel like, Eric, to find a counter, like a strong counter to why you shouldn't do it. Is, as we kind of get into the draft with you, was why we brought you on, is this class sounding like it's a really good defensive line class? Any sort of reason why a team like the Bills shouldn't make that type of trade?
Yeah, I mean, even like, there's a difference between a team like the Buffalo Bills, which has been on the cusp and still remains obviously one of the best teams in football, versus a team with, you know, a first or second year head coach that's kind of in transition. Maybe they're good, maybe they're not. You know, that they're the type of team that I think can sit back and say, sure, we'll pick whatever defensive lineman comes to us. But whereas a team like the Bills might feel some kind of impetus to make a move on player like Garrett. I mean, these guys don't come available every offseason. That's the, you know, I wrote my editor said, hey, can you write something immediately after that news broke? You know, what teams might be interested in him? I was like, do I just list all 31? I mean, you know, because there's not a team that couldn't use him, obviously, but you have the Washington Commanders type team, the Detroit Lions type organization, and then you have a Bills team that's even more established than those two have been, that are seemingly in contention and need defensive help. So I guess the counter argument would be the price might be pretty high, and right now Cleveland has not said they're making him available. So you can't count on that being the case.
Yeah, the Browns are in such a interesting spot there because the quarterback situation has them in a mess, and he wants out. When guys want out, they don't always move. Like, I'm thinking about Deebo Samuel asking for a trade, and he didn't get traded. And sometimes guys get, they'll ask, and there just aren't that many buyers. When there's the potential for there to be 31 and a true sweepstakes, I don't know, I feel like it wouldn't be hard for the Browns to justify it. Even the player publicly asking for it makes it so you're not the bad guy if you do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many layers to this thing, as you said. Like, what happens with Watson is going to affect what happens with Garrett. I mean, there's no other way to say it because their salary cap situation is so bad. And on top of that, you know, GM Andrew Berry has – I just went on Cleveland radio yesterday, and about eight of the questions are, what do you think of Andrew Berry? Clearly they're not happy with how things have gone there. What's the league opinion of Andrew Berry? And, you know, I came to the conclusion that, look, if you trade the best player that you have in your organization, you better get something back pretty fierce. I mean, you better cash in on that offer and take advantage of the fact that there are likely going to be multiple suitors. This is like a real estate game where, you know, you hope that four teams at least come bidding in pretty high. And obviously for teams like the Lions and Commanders and Bills and whoever else might be picking towards the end of round one, if there's a team higher up with a better draft pick that comes in and says, sure, we'll give you our first plus X, Y, or whatever, that's going to be a tough one for those teams to match unless they're willing to use future picks or deplete this year's crop. So, you know, for Cleveland's perspective, they have so many issues right now. I think it's going to be awfully hard once they see those offers start rolling in, you know, or if they have already, to turn them down. Because, I mean, they're underwater salary-wise, and the quarterback situation isn't clearing itself up, you know, by magic.
Just to round that out on the Browns, because I think they're super interesting too, are you a fan of any quarterback that they could get their hands on at the second pick?
I mean, I like Cam Ward, and I think he could be a good player in this league, but you know, it's almost like the Jalen Hurts argument a little bit in that you're going to have to really tailor your offense to him. And again, the guy just won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying he's, you know, not capable of doing that. Of course he is. But I just feel like it's going to be a process and you have to sort of be willing to be patient with him. I don't know that I would give him a true first round grade. I think he's going to end up being like my 15th overall player in this year's class, something like, you know, 12 to 18. I think he would have been in the same debate as that second trio of quarterbacks, you know, after Williams, Daniels, and May went. Mm-hmm. You had Bo Nix, Penix, McCarthy, all were debated to different degrees. Some people had second-round grades on those guys. I think it's going to be the same with Ward and Shedeur Sanders, for that matter. I don't know that a lot of teams are going to stamp top 10 grades on it. It doesn't mean they can't go number two. Absolutely could. I think Bo Nix got a ton of second-round grades from teams last year, or day two. So I could see that happening again. But, yeah, they probably have to go the draft route, but it's not the best year to do that.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com draft analyst with us on the Wester Hotline. To the Bills, we kind of entered into these with, you know, the defensive line class. Would you have agreed with my understanding of the kind of the early process here of the draft that it is a strong defensive line class, and that if the Bills don't make like a Garrett trade and that's what they want to do, that there's going to be a very good player available to them?
I think that's the best sort of fallback plan, is that if they do somehow, you know, obviously somehow, but I mean, if they don't end up getting that type of piece, you feel pretty good about the idea that either one of those defensive tackles, it's a really deep group there, or one of those pass rushers should be available. Now, Abdul Carter's gone. I think Mike Green from Marshall did enough at the Senior Bowl to probably push him into that top 20, possibly even top 15 range. Shamar Stewart, a pretty freaky guy. I don't think he'll be – you just look at the traits and you say those guys don't typically last that long. And again, Greg Rousseau lasted quite a while. So, you know, it happens. You never know. I think that Rousseau year was similar in that there were a lot of different types of defensive linemen in that class. And, you know, I think that kind of fits this year. You have some quicker, smaller pass rushers like Donovan Ezriaku and Mike Green. You have some bigger edge guys like the Texas A&M kids and the Arkansas guy, Landon Jackson. You have some big, thick, stout, long interior guys. You also have some pass rusher types. So they kind of check off almost every box. I think the Bills, if I had to guess, would be looking more for like a Von Miller replacement and a Daquan Jones replacement, maybe, you know, either short term or at some point down the road for both. That's I think both those positions are well stocked in this year's draft.
Eric at home with us. So for you, that first round pick, if it were between those two, Von Miller has a cap situation where there's a good chance that he's not here next year. From your vantage point, do you feel like that one of those is a better idea than the other, or both need to be addressed and maybe it's close?
Yeah, defensive line, interior. Question. You have to think also like, you know, two and three dimensionally on this. Or I mean, the draft people do. And, you know, that's what Brandon and his staff have to decide, is that, you know, which position will we have a better chance of getting a better player later in the draft, too? You have to kind of say, maybe we take a player with a little bit lower ceiling in the first round, more of a sure pick guy, and then we come back and get somebody with a little more upside later on or something. If I had to guess between the two spots, that's a tough one, actually, now that I think about it. Maybe there are more interior guys this year, which is surprising. In recent years, we have not had that wellspring of defensive tackle talent. It's been one of the leaner positions, generally speaking, not every year, but, you know, three or four of the last 5 years, it's been a little bit weaker inside. As we talk this through, I almost might be tempted to take the interior player first, even if there are some tempting pass rushers there. It's tough, you know. I mean, like it. Mm-hmm. I guess it all depends on who's on the clock. But if I had to say, there might be a little bit more depth inside.
Eric Edholm on the Wester Hotline. Little NFL draft, little, you know, off-season stuff. Other positions to really focus on here, like the Bills, as they try to put it all together. We're still talking receiver. We've done it for like 5 years now. It's been a lot. And last year they go get Keon Coleman, who had a, you know, a little bit of an up and down rookie season. There's definitely something to like there. This class, though, I'm seeing plenty that it's not as good as last year's, but not to undersell it, that there probably will be 4 to 5 first round guys and guys that are worthy of those spots.
Yeah, 5 would be a stretch for me. Like off the top of my head, I can say, you know, Tet McMillan from Arizona, Luther Burden from Missouri, I think are going to be first-rounders. Matthew Golden from Texas has kind of gotten a late-season boost. You know, the four playoff games, he was outstanding. Personally, I think he's a second-round pick. If I had to just – I mean, that's me talking, but some people in the league think a little more highly of him. So, you know, he's certainly a candidate. Emeka Egbuka, that's a player who, you know, will probably be drafted somewhere right around where the Bills get pick. We obviously know what happened last year. You know, you have the opportunity to draft a speed receiver. That's not who he is, but he's pretty darn good. I see a lot of number twos in this draft. And that's the thing with the Bills. It's like, is there a player you could draft who potentially could be number one? Oh, I don't know. Maybe. You know, you may have to take a player who has some injury history or, you know, some character questions that makes them jump down a little bit. But more often than not, if you look at this group, there are a lot of solid 2-3 kind of options in this class. I really like Jack Besh from TCU. Had a great Senior Bowl week. You know, he tragically lost his brother down in the New Orleans terror attack. But, you know, this looked like a guy who was completely focused on his career and explosive player, kind of a Ramsey wide receiver. I could see him working in Buffalo. Jalen Royals from Utah State, Jaden Higgins. You know, I mean, Trey Harris from Ole Miss. To me, those are all like second and third type round guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the sweet spot for this class. I don't think I don't know. To me, I wouldn't be reaching at the end of round one for a wide receiver if I didn't have to.
Yeah, maybe that ends up being more of a day two or even day three thing for them if they address it. And they specifically, Eric, like McDermott talked this way at the end of the season about down the field being something they'll need to be better at. And the numbers bear that out. So when you look at that, you mentioned Igbuka maybe isn't that. Isaiah Bond, I know, is like a speed guy, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe if it's specific to now's the time they go for someone that can get open down the field, does that kind of narrow your focus on a receiver for them?
Yeah, maybe it makes, you know, Kyle Williams or Tez Johnson or somebody like that a possibility. And I believe they have an extra day two pick as well, so that helps. But, I don't know that there's a Xavier Worthy in this class, but Tez Johnson to me could be like a Tank Dell type of player, very thin. I don't know if that's exactly what they want, but like when I stood next to him at the Senior Bowl, granted I've put on a few pounds over the years, but he was about half my size, and I'm a large man, but still, like that was a little bit concerning, especially when you see the thin lower half. But boy, watching him run and watching him move and just glide. It's not hard to picture him both taking, you know, slants and drags and short stuff and also being able to go over the top like you're talking about. But file away the name Jalen Royals, too. He's a player who got hurt last year, didn't really maximize his opportunities. But you turn on the tape, that dude can play and didn't always play with great quarterbacks at Utah State. So that's a fun player. Mm-hmm. I think he'd be a great upgrade over Curtis Samuel, somebody like that.
Eric, at home, one last one for me, Eric, because, you know, mixed in all this for the Bills and their offense is what ultimately becomes of Dalton Kincaid, a first-round pick with the Bills grabbed, and I don't think anyone disputes the talent, but production has not really been there. Maybe that's just offensive identity. You know, some will predict a breakout, and some will wonder if it will ever really get off the ground the way that maybe the Bills thought it would when they drafted him.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because I liked him as a player. I mean, it was easy to see his fluidity as a receiver, and, you know, he had late hands, good concentration. I know that hasn't always translated. You know, there have been some drops. There have been some, like you said, lags in production. There have been some injuries and things like that. It's been a little disappointing. I would also remind some people that tight end is a notoriously slow-developing position, you know, even with, you know, a Laporta or somebody who breaks out and, you know, continues to play at a high level. But, you know, even he backslid this year. You know, both guys were better as rookies than they were in their second year. So that kind of thing happens. And I still think he's got the kind of talent that would be a perfect additive to this offense at full strength. I understand people are a little frustrated given the draft value they spent on him, but I'd be willing to wait on that one.
To wrap here, Eric, I'm sure the question you might get the most this spring, what is Travis Hunter going to be in the NFL? And really, my other question is he, in your opinion, a top five prospect in all of these places because he does both so well? Or do you think, like, if he was just a corner, he would right now we knew just a corner, he'd still be a top five pick?
Great, great, great question. And that's really what you have to decide. Like, there's no doubting that what Travis Hunter did in college is nothing of this era and nothing of almost any era, right? I mean, the play at the level he did, there's something special about him that's undeniable. I think he's an elite competitor. You look at the frame and you say, it's a little lean, you know, it's thin. Some people would take that to be, okay, let's make him a corner because he's got pretty good length. He's matched up against some really good receivers and held his own. you know, let's make him a corner, and then we'll build a package of plays for him offensively. I did speak to one team earlier in the year. I'd be curious. I have to sort of circle back with them. I don't know how they feel now, but who had the opposite approach, who said, if I'm using a top five pick on him, I'm probably making him a wide receiver and then kind of cross-training him in, like, you know, red zone defense, you know, sort of two-minute. Maybe you have some, you know, you could play him 20 snaps a game as a dime defender or whatever. I hadn't heard that before. I'll be curious to see if there are other teams that, I don't know, Moore wants to get back from the combine, but I wouldn't be shocked if there are a handful of teams who think about it that way, because corners in the top five, you don't see it very often. I know it feels like that's a premium position, but you don't often see those guys go that high. That is going to be a hang-up for some people, the question, the way you asked it. Is he a top five guy because he does both, and can he do both in the NFL? I'm not sure.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com. Eric, thanks for the time, and we'll chat again soon.
All right, looking forward to it. See you.
All right,
thanks,
Eric. Stay warm.
Yeah. Sam Monson yesterday was tweeting a lot about Hunter, and he is all about Hunter as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, this dude's got elite quick twitch. Like, he gets open, and he even, like, was like, if he did that maybe being more banged up than any other player, more tired, because he would have been just playing on defense.
The one catch he made in the corner of the end zone, he's covered tightly, and he reaches back and catches, like, I'm doing on the feed if you're watching. You can see me. Underrated all-time catch. That kind of pluck it away when falling away right from the defender is really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting that he said he had heard a team do the other way, because I've been assuming all this time he'll be a full-time corner that will get packages on offense, because that just seems more natural. There are not many. I guess there are some. Like, Cam Lewis has packages on the Bills' defense, right? So I guess you could have that defensively, but I had been thinking the other way, that he would be a full-time corner that plays 20% on offense.
Our thanks to Eric Edholm, 803-0550. Tomorrow night's game. Let's go.
Speaking of college football, very quickly, did you see that they are meeting today?
Expand the playoff field?
Yeah, SEC and Big Ten athletic directors meeting today in New Orleans. They are planning to expand the college football playoff to 14 or 16 teams.
16 teams.
And assign multiple automatic qualifiers per league, with as many as four each for themselves. The SEC and the Big Ten.
Well, why have a season? Why have a season?
I mean, the Purdue-Northwestern game might matter more now.
It might. Ohio State's entire season doesn't matter now.
I was told the game against Michigan mattered no matter what the standings said.
Didn't.
It didn't?
No.
They fought each other at the end.
They won the national championship.
But that's what I mean. They won the national championship, and everyone still acted like that game was everything before it.
That's true. And
there were Ohio State fans that said they wanted Ryan Day fired anyway
They
won the national championship.
And there was a lawmaker that wanted to make it a felony to plant a flag at midfield.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
really
funny.
Really great moments in sports history, yeah. Anyway, all right. 803-0550.
So you're not going to also want to hear the news that the college basketball field is getting expanded to 76 next year. They're adding eight more. We're just letting more teams in all these leagues. Eventually, you think it's got to stop somewhere, right? You know, we can't do it in hockey, though. Got a team over here that can't make it. Make it a 20-team field over here. Although they did do that one year, and the Sabres still missed, didn't they?
Yes.
The COVID season.
Yes. All right, 803-0550 is our phone number, and 1-888-552-550. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up top of the hour. Sabres Live's back today. One Bills Live on the slate as well. You know, we're getting back to it. Sabres play the Rangers on Saturday. I got to tell you what I've got a current habit I'm obsessed with right now. It's the closest thing to fantasy football. I found my replacement for fantasy football. It's only going to last a couple more days, though, but I'll tell you about that.
You feel pretty good about the idea that either one of those defensive tackles. It's a really deep group there. Or one of those pass rushers should be available. You have some quicker, smaller pass rushers like Donovan Ezriaku and Mike Green. You have some bigger edge guys like the Texas A&M kids and the Arkansas guy, Landon Jackson. You have some big, thick, stout, long interior guys. You also have some pass rusher types. So they kind of check off almost every box. I think the Bills, if I had to guess, would be looking more for like a Von Miller replacement and a Daquan Jones replacement, maybe, either short-term or some point down the road for both. Both those positions are well-stocked in this year's class.
Eric Edholm, NFL.com, on the defensive line class. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. 9:30. Hold on. We went under zero. No, my... The real Phil's minus two.
I saw that there's an MLS game today that could break the record for the coldest soccer game ever played. In Kansas City, the forecast is minus 11.
Yikes. I would not go to that
game.
And
I guess they're planning to play.
Yeah, I would not go.
I mean, what happened to the ball? Wouldn't a soccer ball being kicked, wouldn't the cold be more impactful on that than like catching a football? Or at least football in general, because you could just hand it off. If you're trying to
kick a rock?
Yeah, kick a corner. Like, you break your foot.
Not going to head that ball.
Yeah.
No way. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. I have been spending a lot of my time right now. I've replaced the part of my brain that stares at my fantasy football lineup.
Okay.
I'm having a really big week. It's really an exciting week for me because I'm getting a package delivered.
Oh,
a big okay. a bed. Ordered a brand new bed.
Yeah.
Bed and frame and everything. So tracking that package, it's like I'm watching the win probability thing on the 75% to win this week. Check this out. All right. And then opening up the page 30 seconds later to see if it's moved.
Yeah.
Oh, this mattress is in Arizona. Hold on. Oh, it's in Texas. It's in Texas. We're getting there. the actual package has four pieces. There's the bed, there's the frame, there's the pillows. And yeah, I'm just excited. I'm excited for this new bed.
You're just following it state to state.
Yes. Keep opening up the email like, okay, manage your delivery.
Is there like an estimated time that you could almost like, you could bet on? Like, will we be within 2 hours of the estimated time?
When I initially ordered it, estimated delivery was today. And then I got pushed a couple of days. And now it says it's out for delivery, but another one says it's not. So it's just like playing fantasy football. Am I going to win? Do I get a bet today? Right. Is it Saturday? And I'm very excited.
I had a package that was the whole time I was watching the same thing, and it said estimated delivery Tuesday by 9 p.m.
Yeah,
by the way, and Saturday it just showed up
3 days early.
Yeah, just showed up on Saturday.
Maybe I'll get a bed today.
Yeah, maybe
that'd be exciting. There's another one like scheduled.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday. All right. It's almost like when your food arrives too quick at a restaurant.
Yes.
You know, you're like, I don't think this should have got here this quick. I don't know about this. Like that was kind of me getting this package 3 days early. Like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
I didn't pay for 1 day, 2 day shipping.
I had to make sure
I didn't pay for 2 day shipping for some reason.
We had an incident where we thought we had a package, like stolen porch pirate kind of situation. And then we found it 3 days later underneath a snowbank. Like, oh, it was just frozen to the ground underneath stuff because, you know, it's been.
The wind could just take it away, honestly.
It's just been weather lately. The weather is weathering. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, our phone number, Jeremy and Joe. It's, late February. We're only a month away from the sun setting at 7 p.m.
Sweet.
It's a month.
A month.
Does that make you feel better?
We are almost through it.
Yep.
We're February 19th. It could be worse. It could be December 19th. Us going through this and like, oh, we got 3 more months of this garbage.
Here's a question for you. Conspiracy, whatever. Did you see Joe Mixon and Will Anderson Jr. of the Texans? They were both fined for criticizing the officials in the divisional round.
I saw Mixon had it. He won the appeal.
Yes. So did Will Anderson Jr.
Okay.
So the NFL took back the fines for the players that criticized the officials.
Yeah, well, clearly they did that because they were correct, right? They were accurate. Huh? Mixon, though, there was more to that. Like, Anderson clearly, like, criticized the refs. The story on Mixon was they fined him for a quote he didn't say. Someone from the league misread a story at Sports Illustrated because the quote they used when describing why he was fined was a quote that former NFL receiver TJ Hushmanzada said. And they misread the story because Mixon didn't say it. There was another quote from Mixon later on that was way more tame. So what did the NFL do when they realized they fined him for a quote he didn't say? They changed the quote that they fined him for, which was not critical at all. So they made a mistake on Mixon, and then instead of admitting their mistake, said, oh, no, you're not fine. They just said, oh, well, you're fine for this instead then. So he won that appeal. Anderson, I'm surprised, won, though, because Anderson was like, wasn't he the one that after the game said that, like, oh, yeah, we're fighting two teams out there?
He said, yeah, playing against the refs.
So I'm kind of surprised maybe they rescinded that one. So, of course, that means that he was right. They were playing two teams.
The NFL today announced, we had this yesterday late in the show, that the Chargers were likely to be the team to host in Brazil, and they will be. The Chargers host in Brazil, which means Friday, the opening week, you got Thursday night. That'll be Eagles.
Yep,
Thursday night football. And then the Chargers play on Friday against one of these teams. So not divisional, right? Not going to be the division.
Right.
We'll take out the division. The teams they could play otherwise are the Texans, Colts, Eagles, Commanders, Steelers, and Vikings. I would eliminate the Colts and the Steelers because they're already going international. Steelers are going to Dublin, and the Colts, I believe, are going to Munich.
Okay.
But the Colts are going international. That leaves Eagles, won't be them. They're playing the day before.
Yep.
That leaves Commanders, Texans, Vikings. So I think the Commanders, the Texans, or the Vikings are going to Brazil. And I bet it's an AFC matchup.
Yeah, because I actually think Commanders is going to be the Thursday night game.
Against the Eagles.
Yeah, the opener.
So now you're down to Vikings and Texans. So I bet you my bottom dollar right now, Chargers, Texans, Brazil on that Friday game.
I think we kind of just figured it out.
Isn't that it?
I think that makes, yes. That almost feels too easy, but I feel like, yeah. I mean, I guess it could be the Vikings, but...
Or it could be division if they decide they want to go... Division, but
I don't think they usually
give away a home game in the division.
Although,
so I think it's the Texans.
Do they have a team here who might say, yeah, actually, you know what? Rather than have Chief fans come in and take over our building because it's not really a home game for us anyway, we'll just go to Brazil.
Brazil? I mean, maybe.
If there was a team to do that with, it would be the LA Chargers.
Or the Titans.
But I would agree.
The Titans always give away their home tickets.
Yeah, I would bet... The favorite would be the Texans, then the Vikings, and then division.
Yeah,
in that order. And I think the Texans might be like more minus money to be that game. That's a fine game.
Chargers Texans to open up.
According to Bucky Brooks, they both have bigger Super Bowl windows than the Bills do.
This is true. He did say that.
So who's who between the Texans and the Chargers? One of those two teams will be great, right?
I would bet the Chargers are more likely to be great than the Texans right now. The Chargers have some continuity on their side, and the Texans are, what, starting over at offensive coordinator?
Yep.
And no Diggs, who, by the way, was really important for them, so they can replace him.
Or they could re-sign him, I guess.
Could, that's right. They could.
Those are, to me, the two teams, though, right now that probably feel like, even if they're wrong, they probably feel like we have a quarterback that can jump up in that category with the top guys in the AFC. We just got to put it together.
Who would you rather have?
We've got the talent at quarterback to join the high rollers club.
That's a great who would you rather have, Stroud or Herbert? Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Herbert. Yeah, I'd rather have Herbert.
Because of mobility? He doesn't use it as much.
I think he has... on par with Allen, like the most talented arm in the league. He's not as mobile. He's more mobile maybe than Stroud, but he's not as mobile as obviously Allen or Jackson or even Mahomes. And I might have to wonder about him upstairs a little bit, right? Like, I know he didn't turn the ball over all year, but he had
three interceptions on the year and then four in the playoffs.
Right, but he's had his moments. He's had moments throughout his career. I mean, didn't he throw a bunch of picks when they blew a 27-point lead to the Jaguars in a playoff game?
Yeah.
So, like, I might have to wonder about him upstairs a little bit, but I would be tempted... If I was a team, Harbaugh's my coach, I'd be tempted to say, I just got to find the right coach and infrastructure, and I can make that dude one of the best quarterbacks in football because his arm is as talented as anybody. Like, it really is on par with Allen. He throws laser beams at a million miles an hour. He chucks the ball down the field when he needs to. He just, again, hasn't had... himself the ability and the tools, I think, to put it all together.
Well, think about McConkey and how good McConkey was this year. Is that the best receiver that he's ever had?
He had Keenan Allen.
He had okay.
Both guys were slot receivers, by the way.
Mm-hmm. They need somebody on the outside.
Yeah, no, McConkey, right, who's his best receiver? Like, he's got the big arm. One complaint I always had about them was the coordinator there, I don't remember his name, but he came from New Orleans. With Drew Brees, which was like a check down short offense. Yeah. And that's what he did with Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Herbert's got this massive arm. They just never used it. They never brought in the guys to use it.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Does it? Come on, it sounds familiar.
But they never had that. Like the Bills, at least.
No, I know.
We've seen Allen a couple times with an offense that can chuck it down the field. Herbert, you've really never seen it. So, and why? Because their best outside perimeter receiver, in addition to a coordinator that was used to screens and everything, Who was the top receivers? Mike Williams. He doesn't get open. You can throw a jump ball to him. So, yeah, I like Herbert. I think he is better than what his reputation is right now. I think there's a Chargers thing going on there. The Chargers are going to take your talented quarterback, and they're going to chew him up and spit him out, and everyone's going to think he's a bum. They've been doing it for 35 years. All the way back to Fouts, maybe.
I think the chargering is done. What? Had a terrible playoff game. But I think chargering, Harbaugh.
I mean, it's tough to say they're done chargering when they just chargered.
And they lost a playoff game with a bunch of turnovers. Like, what was, you know.
But that was the.
How is that different than what the Ravens did? Lost a playoff game. They lost a road playoff game.
Because you expect it from the Chargers. You maybe didn't expect it from the Ravens.
Yeah.
The Chargers are, I don't care what. They're the opposite of the Chiefs. I don't care how good what they did in the regular season. I know they're going to be different when the postseason shows up. Right? And when you got confirmation of that, I'm not even saying it's right. I'm just saying it's defendable that they're going to charge her until the the end.
That game, if you remember that game, 32-12, the Texans beat the Chargers and they intercepted Herbert four times. The Chargers were up 6-0 in that game. If you were watching that game, you thought the Texans have never been more dead than dead. They are a disaster. And then a touchdown pass to C.J. Stroud kind of opened it up.
Yeah,
7-6, and from there it was just all right.
Well, then
ball,
it was,
it's ball game.
It was the pick six, wasn't it?
It was a pick six. 38-yard pick six.
Yep.
Yeah, it was nuts.
They're just hilarious. Even when they also looking at the game chart right now. Even when they scored that touchdown, 86-yard touchdown.
Two-point conversion intercepted back the other way.
Yeah, the kicker tried to spike the ball on the ground. Like, that's the Chargers right there. That's... Even when you thought they were about to turn it around, the kicker decides, I'm going to punch the ball to the ground up in the air, and they returned it for a two-pointer.
That was goofy. All right, we'll finish things up and pass it off to the Extra Point Show coming up in a moment here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, we'll reenact the conversation we just had in the break.
So we're talking about Eichel, and I go, I think he was the favorite for the Hart. He might still be up there. So I go to Hart Trophy odds, and I go, Leon Draisaitl is minus money to win the Hart Trophy?
To which I said, you probably shouldn't be allowed to win the Hart if McDavid is on your team.
Right. And then I go, he must have insane stats. Pull it up. He has 40 goals in 55 games.
And I said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Maybe he should win the Hart.
What's that pace?
Jeez, like 60?
He's 60, on 62. Pace for, 60. 60 goals.
Okay. It's pretty good.
He's on pace for 60 goals and 124 points. All right.
Respect.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
I had something else I was just looking up. Oh, I know. The Sabres draft odds. 9.5% for the number one overall pick.
All right.
Also, checking
10 times better than their playoff odds.
Checking in on odds and percentage or probability. Have you been keeping an eye on that comet?
Asteroid.
Whatever. That's not the same thing?
No. Comet's more ice. It's got a tail that comes off the end. I think it's about the material and also where it comes from. Like, comets typically come from, I think, like the Kuiper Belt.
Why asteroids come from the asteroid about belt. Space and doesn't know
Don't get me
about
going
Star
on
Wars.
Space.
Asteroids are rocky Star. Objects. Comets are made of ice, dust, and rock.
Okay, there you go.
Fine. The asteroid.
Because the sun melts the ice, which is why you get the tail that comes off the back of the comet.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
I know my space stuff.
Sure. Question.
But he doesn't know what a Tauntaun is.
I don't know what a Tauntaun is. And I don't know, right, that galaxy I'm not as familiar with. Sorry.
Okay, do comets, when you're melting the ice off the back of it from the sun, when it goes back out to the nether reaches, does it gain more ice? Or is there just enough ice that it slowly melts over time? Does a comet, once all the ice melts off, become just an asteroid?
Maybe it's not. It like melts into vapor, though, I think. So like then it's just kind of out there.
Then what?
It just kind of hangs out.
I'm saying, are you a comet until all of your ice burns off and then you're an asteroid?
Oh, I see. That sounds like that would make
sense.
That.
We're learning. We're not learning anything. Anyway, did you see that the asteroids' odds of hitting Earth are up above 3%?
Yeah, 3.1.
It's kind of real when they write 1 in 32. That's not nothing.
Yeah.
1 in 32 teams will win the Stanley Cup this year.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw. Now we're comparing it to a lot of different sports numbers over the years. Like, teams have won lotteries with far fewer than 3.1% chance. This asteroid, if you're wondering, by the way, it's like big enough to destroy a city, not to blow up the Earth.
Yeah.
Which, not to say that's not still, you know, worth tracking or moving if they can.
Sure. The real question is, you know, when do they start doing the crunching the numbers about, like, where's it going to hit?
Okay, so the thing, I've read a lot about this thing. So it is going to do a loop around the sun. So when it goes behind the sun, I think next year, we're not going to see it for 2 years because you can't see behind the sun. So then it's going to come back out around the sun in 2028, and then we're going to know if it's going to hit or not. Or how close it'll be, or like we're going to know a much better idea. Like, there's a day they know we're going to see it again, and then we'll figure out if there's got a chance or not.
I feel like there's a lot of meme potential in that. The memes are going to be off the charts when this. It's back. Let's go to Cincinnati. Oh no.
What are you doing to Cincinnati?
Joe Burrow's on the screen. That's why I picked Cincinnati. No shade. No shade at Cincinnati. All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.